There's a couple of chapters that are going to be even shorter as far as talking, because a lot of it's redundant. Not all of it's the Word of God, all of it's good, but I'm not going to continue over and over with some of those things. But we'll probably finish up with Isaiah sometime, depending on how many times I have to miss or this or that, in June or July, and then we'll be starting the book of Acts for the first time in our church's history. We'll do the book of Acts, and it's interesting. Church will be 6 years old in September. I was kind of looking back, 66 books of the Bible, and the Minor Prophets is kind of a cheat code in this, but once we get through, we would have gone through a third of the Bible together in 6 years. It's my goal. I'm never going to make it, but my goal in 10 years was to get through the entire Bible, every book of the Bible, by the time we turn 10. Unless I really hurry up, we ain't getting there. But I cheated because I did Revelation on Wednesday night, so I had two at the same time. So maybe I'll have to do that again and pick up a couple of books on Wednesday nights. But that was always my goal, was to do the entire Bible with the church in a 10-year period. And so we're plugging away, and we're going to be a third of the way there once we complete this and then get into the book of Acts. So that's exciting to me. I know people probably have questions. Wondered if I would address what's going on in Israel right now, if you know what's going on there, and America and Great Britain and France and other countries are knocking down those drones that Iran, the Bible, the biblical Persia, and there's a lot to it. Are there prophetical implications? Yes. Is there an absolute direct prophecy that I could turn to and say, this is absolutely this situation? No. There's been lots of wars and lots of things that have happened in and around Israel, even after they've become back in their land. But I would say to you that, as with everything, biblically or historically, everything is moving us towards prophecy, or it's a part of prophecy, because it's certainly things that God saw. And I looked at some of those pictures of the drones, and isn't that imagery and the things, isn't it so Book of Revelation, things that you could see in the sky, and just seeing those things in Book of Daniel. And so pay attention to it. If you're saved, there's no reason to be afraid of any of this stuff. And so it's neat and it's interesting. Whether you believe, I know there were so many people, the eclipse is coming, it's going to be the rapture and all these other things. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says there's an eclipse on the day of the rapture. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you anything about the rapture other than you're going to be here and you're going to be gone. It's like Enoch. You were and you weren't, okay? And so if you're a Christian, you have faith in God, stop worrying about that stuff. Here's what you need to worry about. Worry about the people who will be left behind. And start preaching the gospel to those people. You know, all that stuff, conjecture and talking about it, it's all fun, it's all good. But none of that changes how people get saved, and none of it helps people get saved as far as just talking about it. But getting out there and telling people, hey, you see what's going on? Our Bible says this kind of stuff's going to happen, wars and rumors of wars and this stuff, and you better get right with Jesus, right? That's what this is about. And so I just would encourage you, watch the news, pay attention to it, see what's going on, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the Bible says so, and pray for Israel, God's chosen nation. But fear not, for God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has overcome the world. All right. Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to talk about this today. Isaiah 48 through 50, we might get to 50 tonight, but it talks about the mission of the Messiah. If you were going to title it, lots of commentaries, lots of people have titled it that, but it talks about the mission of the Messiah. So in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the idolatry and the negativity of Israel, and how God was turning them over to Cyrus, to Persia, that they would be freed from Babylonian captivity and deportation, and now Persia would overrun them. And we know even in the Persian kingdom that there was still not complete restoration. Now, eventually the temple is rebuilt under their hand, and eventually there's temple worship restored and these different things, but they're still under the thumb of a Gentile nation. And then shortly after that, in history, we know that Greece comes through, and shortly after that, we will move our way into the Roman Empire, where Jesus was born into and lived and died through that. But more importantly tonight, what we want to see is a few things about Israel, and also about Israel's Messiah, who is our Messiah. But here when Isaiah is speaking, we see some things. So I'm going to read quite a bit of the chapter and then go back and explain through verse by verse. Not completely every single one of these verses, but in 48, I want to read quite a bit of it. So stay with me here. Isaiah 48, verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, so he's speaking to Israel, which are called by the name of Israel, and come forth out of the waters of Judah, Judah being the strength and the tribe from which Jesus came. which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of God, the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. So it's going to tell us exactly who the author is talking to, and then it's also going to establish the problem that you're a people, but you've had all this opportunity. You've been in Babylonian captivity, and the Persians are going to come, even though that hasn't happened yet. Isaiah's prophesying and named Cyrus by name nearly 200 years before he comes, and he says, but you just still can't get right, right? You're still just in this idolatry. You're still searching. It's interesting to me, and I think that we are so much like that as a people, but people in Israel were sad because they're in bondage and because of what's coming. They're also in a state of idolatry and false worship, and all the while they're in their idolatry and false worship, they're waiting for the coming of the Messiah. It's interesting to me, because as Christians, sometimes we're involved in idolatry and all other things, but we'll still say, but I'm waiting for Messiah to come. And Isaiah's given the warning, well, he's coming, but you're not going to like what it looks like when he comes, because you are going to be caught naked and without your garment, and that's the way Jesus says not to be caught, correct? But we go on here and we see in verse 2, for they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. You think I'm a mean preacher, but Isaiah is literally saying you act like you say you're Christians, but you don't act like Christians. He's saying you say you're the chosen people of God, but you're not acting like it. Right. Isaiah is not. This isn't. You ever hear the Bible read out loud to you? Audio Bible. You know, when I hear these things, I told you a long time ago, my dad had this James Earl Jones, King James Bible that read to him, and I hear things in James Earl Jones's voice, and it sounds scary when James Earl Jones is like, oh, Israel, God's going to kill you. You know, that's how it sounds. It's Darth Vader speaking to you. I mean, come on, people. It's scary. And so if the Bible won't scare you straight, James Earl Jones reading the Bible in the King James will, all right? So he's giving this warning, and he says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. I told you what was going to happen, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. All these miracles God had performed. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. He says, you're stiff-necked, right? You are hard to deal with. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Lest thou shouldest